Okay, Ron, and thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight. And again, to look at the portion of the Word of God. And for the last 2 months now, we've been, since about the first of the year, we've kind of took a little side trip because of a verse of Scripture that we come across in Titus 2. And we tried to expand on that a little bit, or to remember the things that you've given to us to understand, to glean from it, and to realize that what your Son did for us, that He had promised the Father that He would do aeons before. And we went through that, and it brought back memories again to me of the fact that what we have in Christ is part of His finished work, or finishing work, that He promised the Father that He would do a long time before He ever created it, ever created this world that we live in. And so I want to go back and read a few verses there in Titus 2, because we're going to pick it up, but basically this is going to be a review night. And there's some things that I still want to discuss concerning what we read and what we found out with those things that we took on so many years ago when Brother Larry Dyer came to Wolf Stake Church. And I came by there Sunday morning going to Bible study, and there was two vehicles there. And it was about 10:30 in the morning. And so when Brother Larry left there, they was right at 150 people. I believe about 145 people there on the roll. And when he came, there was about 80, 85 people on the roll. And he was there, I don't know what, 2 or 3 years. And things seemed to be going very well when he left, but, you know, people, they just didn't much want to hear what he had to say, and it was needed more than anything I can really think of at the time, because when we got into the Word and got to studying the Word, and even having Bible studies with a group that we all kind of felt like that we all needed that information. The rest of the church kind of looked at us as somewhat foolish, maybe, because they didn't really.
Well, a lot of people think you're not supposed to mess with your Bible unless you're at church. You'd be surprised how many people believe that.
Well,
but there's something wrong with you studying the Scripture if you're not doing it at church.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we were called a chimney corner meeting group, so that's where all this kind of popped up from. And then as we went along and learned these things, then he put it in sermon fashion for us. And we heard it from the pulpit, and they didn't. And they didn't see it either. So they were kind of like the ones that it brought Christ to the governor there and said he needs to be crucified. And so he come into his own, and his own didn't accept him. That's just to make a long story kind of short. Excuse me for my
allergies getting
growling around because, yeah, the yellow stuff is
the
out.
Pollen is thick.
And so I want to kind of do a little review here, and then we're going to get involved, but we're not going to do it quite like we've been doing it for tonight, but we will next week. And we got the verse 11 of Titus 2. Turn there with me if you will. And I'm going to read 11 through 15 there, and then we got that far along. And then I got off on the three, the men with the three trees. And so, we're back now to looking at things, back kind of the way we were doing. And we'll finish up Titus and do 2 Timothy for, if the Lord willing. And it says, for the grace of God, in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God, of God, I want you to look at that and remember, because we're talking about things of God. The of there is a genitive word, and it can mean a lot of things. And we're going to talk about that starting a little bit tonight and finish it up next week and start with the regular, with the study, because the prepositions in Scripture, and this genitive there is a genitive of a noun word, but you can have difference in it with it. Can genitive can also be words of the verb, concerning the verb, or some of the other series that you can go to page 14, look, and get the understanding. But the of God, if you look up in the English dictionary, if you look up the word genitive, it starts off with gen. And gen means a beginning, an onset. And of there is a directive. It is who it comes from. A beginning has to start somewhere, and it has to go somewhere. And so the of there is like grace of God or the love of God. All these things that you have concerning God comes or is something that is coming from the Godhead. And so what Christ did was of the Father's will. And so it started, it all started with the Father. And the Father is all powerful. And He is love and He is grace, but He is power. God has the greatest power of anything that's ever been known. And things, you know, we really can't think of it, but yet, these things emanate or start from either God's will or from God's direction. And even the world that we're sitting on today comes, from the will of God when He told His Son to make this planet that we're on, and He cut and carved it from Himself. And He took, and He can take whatever He desires to take, and He can make something, and He can change it into a way that it can work the way He plans for it to work. because that's part of His grace. It can show up in fashion as what He wills it to be. So, you know, way back, He created the angelic order and He created Satan. And He made Satan over the angelic order. He was kind of like the prime minister, if you will, of the angelic order. He was the kind of the go-between between the Godhead and the angels. And so whatever was needed, whatever was wanted, it worked for the will of God until Satan rebelled. And so we have this rebellion. And so when He created this earth, He created it for the angels. And it said the angels sang for joy when they had a place of their own. But yet, you know, all of this got taken down by the situation that Satan wanted and the position that Satan wanted to be the Son of God.
Be like the Most High.
That was his desire, to be like the Most High. He was going to sit in the sides of the north and he was going to direct traffic from that area. And God says, no, you ain't. Well, in the plan come man, come God's will to populate this earth. And so that's where man got involved. And so he put man in the garden and Satan showed up in the garden. Because boundaries had not been set on Satan at that time as to where he can go. But yet, see, when the earth was created, well, then it was in the water. And so when he brought the earth up out of the water and started all this going, and rehabited in it to that sense, then man, through the woman, got involved with Satan, and then that's the situation that man found himself in, was in a place of sinfulness because of what Satan did. But the plan and purpose was, in verse 11 of chapter 2, says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godliness in this present world. That was the ultimate desire of God to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Well, the appearing was the fullness, was going to be the fullness of what the Son was going to inherit. And so God chose man and brought on Abram to be the father of a nation. And he changed his name to Abraham. And that was going to be God's inheritance, to live on this earth in a kingdom. And so it was, to begin with, it was the kingdom hope. And so man was put in the garden and Satan showed up, as I said, and Therefore, we got involved because of the enmity put between his new creation and Satan. And Satan's will. So, it says in verse 14, who gave himself for us. So he came, and when he did come for that salvation, he says he gave himself for us that he might redeem us. And that redemption there is to buy back, to bring back in to balance his will through the ones that would believe through his Son in order to have access to the Father. Because Christ plainly said when he was here teaching and preaching that in order to come through the Father, you got to come through me. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity or sin, if you will, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He said, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. And all that I have read you there, there's punctuation in Scripture. And there is not a full stop there. There's only a full stop in three places so far in the book of Titus that we've been involved in. One of them is in Titus 1:5. It says, for this cause, talking to Titus, he said, for this cause, Paulius, left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, and I had, as I had appointed thee, full stop. The next one is in chapter 2, verse 1. It said, but speak thou the things which becomes sound doctrine, full stop. The third one is in the 7th verse of Titus 2 that we just read from 11 to 15. In the 7th verse it says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, full stop. So when Christ come to his own, these things that are written here in what Titus was left to do, what he was given to do, he did. But he was admonished to continue on with this mysterion truth that Paul now understood. This mystery. The rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, is in these places where we need to stop and think on the things that are, that Paul was telling these young men. And so here I am with notes that I sat down and written, and I want to read you some, but we're going to do a little more scripture reading too. But it wasn't what Jack wrote. It was what I felt like needed to be said because of what we have been through in the last 2 months with these people that were saying, crucify him, crucify him. Give us this murderer, and turn him loose to us, but crucify this man here. And Pilate kept saying, what's the charge? What's the charge? What's the charge? They didn't really have a charge. It was kind of a trumped up thing, but still, this was the way in God's plan that had been told to these prophets, that it would happen this way, and it happened that very way. And even the disciples wanted to change it. And even Peter was told, he said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And it's in Scripture. It did. It happened just that way. And as soon as it did, then Peter's, oh, it was like, oh, yeah, now I see. Now I understand. Well, it was like he didn't understand. It's just like all of them that, of the council, and I know some of them was Pharisees and some of them was Sadducees, and I know they had a big difference in what they believed and what they understood. But yet, before the council and before the high priest that was at the council in Jerusalem, and Herod was there, and they took Christ before Herod for a short period of time. But then all of it went back to, let's get rid of him. And we want to get rid of him. He's claiming to be God. I'm going to read you some of what I wrote. It says, as we return to the third chapter of Titus, which is coming up shortly, Lord willing, we must remind ourselves over again through the words of Paul, to these men of God who is to carry this mystery truth to the world, because Paul understands that his time is short, just how greatly important this message is. Chapter 2, verse 11 through 15 of Titus, what we had just read again, where we took a short tour of remembering what Christ's life and death made in man's way of his short time here on this earth. To allow mankind to recall what our God had given them through the prophets, pointing the Jews to Christ by the law, and it was to show them that Christ Jesus was our salvation. Yeah. Only as they saw these events unfold before them and hear it again from the Lord himself, some of the things that had been written and said of him, then returned to their minds in remembrance, and still some did not believe that Jesus Christ could be a Kingsman Redeemer and also a Son of God in one being. He said, he can't be God. We know Joseph, his father, for one example. But Joseph wasn't his father. As a human being, some just could not get it in their mind and think that this event could really happen, even though Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 through 8 gives us the chronology having been brought up to Noah's day and history taking us back in reverse, not forward, as to time. Because before them was told in Genesis 6 when the genealogy was written there, and I would like for you to turn back there and let's read that again. Genesis 6, it's on page 11 in the companion Bible. And I've got it here marked out like I normally do when I do Jack's work. And I want to read it. And it says this, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them," which they had sons and daughters. If you're going to repopulate a place, you got to have both. "That the sons of God," or the angels, the fallen angels that fell with Satan, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And it doesn't say they made vows. It was more like a slave situation. They were head and shoulders above these new women that were populating the earth. They didn't know very much about God's way of doing things, but these knew that they were following Satan, and so they had the opposite view of what was needed to go on. And so this was the way of them giving Satan a chance to bring about these giants in the earth, because these giants were neither angelic completely and neither human completely. And we call them high bread. Anything that has the name hybrid to it is something that either man or the sinful nature of man does to the things that God put on this earth. Because we have mules, and mules are hybrid, but they can't reproduce themselves. We have fish that are hybrids, and they cannot reproduce themselves, so therefore they can't go any further than one time, getting involved in a cross-pollination, if you will. Just like crossing a flower or two flowers and making a new kind of a flower out of it. Now, if it produces seed from within itself, it's a possibility that it can do it. But the hybrids can't produce the seeds of the blood things. They can't do that. And so they can't reproduce themselves. Those things that have blood can't do it. And so that's the way that God set the boundaries for these things. Because man can fool with DNA, you know. But God set the strands of the DNA, and he put in the strands of DNA the things that he wanted the animal to have, or the man to have, or the fish to have, or whatever. And so therefore, you have to change God's way of doing things in order to make these things hybrid. It changes the plan of God for that species, whatever it is. Satan wanted to change his species, whatever it was, and he wanted to go from a created being to being the Son of God. And he couldn't do it. And regardless of being able to change his way to where he could have the opportunity for seed, because we find that the seed was in him, could be changed, because he could do that. Man is having a harder time doing it. They say they can do it too, but that still doesn't work out really good in that situation. And it said they were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. And the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown, but they couldn't reproduce. These giants could not reproduce. So it was a one-time thing. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But he says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So here was the pattern that Satan really thought he had to accomplish his feat to becoming and taking the place of the Son of God, if he could get rid of the Son of God through these individuals. And guess what? God had given Israel a king, and that king was no good. But the second king, after 40 years, they got rid of Saul, and the second king was David. And guess what? David slew that giant and had the stones in his pocket to slew all of his brothers. Because all of these giants that come about were males, like all the angels were. All the angels were males. No females. I think the only female that Satan ever saw was Eve. And so, see, he did his little thing, what he did, in order to get all of the rest of the world to be in a sinless state because of him and what he had the ability to do. And what he has the ability to overcome man in these things. Now, so we've got the chronology, having been brought up to Noah's days and the history that takes us back to that time. As to time and the time, I believe was Satan remembering from his past given by God and wanted to be in his mind the Son of God. So we must go back and look at two verses in Genesis 1, because two verses in Genesis 1 are important. And it's, I believe it's on page 2. Or 4. It's on page 4 in the Companion Bible. And I want to read you 27 and 28 of Genesis 1, having to deal with these things. And it says, so God created, God says in 26, let's go to 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creepeth thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. Verse 28. I don't know if you've ever read it or not. I know you've probably read scripture, but I don't know about the notes. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. There's a little problem here. He blessed them. And them is emphatic for the word prolepis. And it's the actual building of Eve was not until the second chapter, verses 20 through 23. So God has not yet pulled the rib of Adam and made Eve. And so we find a note here. It says to replenish, to fill, as in 1:22, and nearly every occurrence have dominion. That, along with Psalms 8 and Hebrews 2, it says, but now, not yet. So if you look at 1:28, the idea of God was to tell them this, but he couldn't tell Eve this until he took from Adam a rib and made him a helpmeet. Then he could tell him. But Satan was getting ready, I believe, at this time to take care of that situation by changing himself. He had not seen, I don't think he had ever seen anything human before, and if he did see things that was human before, it was the first one he had seen that could procreate or have offspring. The ones that he tried in Genesis 6 could have offspring, but they couldn't procreate. Does that make sense? They couldn't reproduce themselves after they were a hybrid. But it says, but not yet. So she wasn't told that yet. And so Satan, when he started meeting her and talking with her, she thought he was some great thing because he was an angel of light. And she had not ever seen anything like that. And she doesn't know the ins and outs of being a human being much yet, I don't think. And so God The Satan started asking her, well, did God say this or did God say that? And he changed it. You know, to make it look different from what it truly, really was. That's Satan's way of doing things anyway. He can turn things around and make it look his way. And that's where we are in this day and age. Boy, we're looking his way at stuff a lot of times now. And we're not thinking the way that God thinks in these terms. Because we don't love our neighbor anymore. We put fences up between them. We do all these things that God says, you know, you need to do this, but we don't do that. So here we are. We go back to the second chapter of Titus again and look at the full stop there, because are we really teaching God's word, or are we a little confused with it? I know one thing. I know the Jewish people were confused. They didn't believe Christ as he taught and spoke. He came to his own. They would not accept him. They didn't take his word for anything. Now, we've looked at this on Genesis 1. And we realize that God had not made Eve from Adam's rib yet until late in the second chapter of Genesis 2. So as we see it, Eve could not have had the order to multiply and replenish the earth because she was not here yet. She was not the helpmeet yet that God had made for Adam. But yet, it was in God's mind that that was what he was going to do. And this was all done on the timetable according to God. I want you to go with me to Psalms 8. And let's look a little bit at the 8th chapter of the book of Psalms, because it's short. We've got enough time at least to cover that tonight, and I don't want to get involved in what else I want to talk about until probably the next study. So we'll go back to the 8th chapter of the Psalm of David, and it says, O Lord, and that's on page 727 if you have a companion Bible. O Lord, our Lord. And this is the name of Jehovah himself. The name being put by the figure metonymy of adjunct. Appendage 6. For his character, person, and attributes. This was what salvation should have looked like to those people when they looked on Christ as being the Son of God, because the things that he did, people kept saying, no man can do what he can do. He proved himself without really saying, yeah, I'm the Son of God. No, he didn't say that. He says, you said I'm the Son of God. That's what he told Pilate. He says, Paul said, are you the Son of God? He said, well, you say that I am. And then Pilate come back at one time and said, I'm not a Jew. Why should I say that? And he said, well, you say what you say. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Because God says when he came, he said, born unto you today is the Son, and you will call his name Jesus. Mary understood that he would be called Jesus. It says, who has set thy glory above the heavens? The glory, majesty, and all these things concerning Christ are excellent. You can't say anything any more greater than what he is and who he is. All of these things come to the Godhead because he was part of the Godhead and he was like the Most High. There was no difference. What one understood, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit understood it. In the sense of it being wrapped up in one. But they said, no, he can't be a man. He can't be the kinsman redeemer and be the Son of God at the same time. That just blew their mind. And here's a quote in verse 2. Quoted in Matthew 21:16. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. He came as a babe. And from the time that he could start talking, he knew what his job was. And he knew why he was there, and he could remember things that he did with the Father before. And he could do the things that the Father wanted him to do at that time. And this was the glory. This was the greatness of Jehovah in the earth and the glory of Jehovah in the heavens. Because of thine enemies that thou mightest still. The enemy and the avenger. That's what he came to do. He came to get rid of the enemy and the avenger. And he was the avenger. He was going to take care. That's part of the finished work of Christ. Well, the finished work of Christ is to get rid of everything that Satan changed on this planet and in this universe. Because he had been banished into outer space. He could not go back anymore into the heavens of the heavens, into the third heaven. And God has not led him on this earth, but his minions are here and have been here. Because during his ministry, he came up on these that were full of spirits, demon spirits. Some of them talked, and he could talk to them. But the disciples couldn't talk to him because he knew their name, but the disciples didn't know their name. And so they couldn't cast out the demons because they didn't know the name of the demon. But you see, Christ knew them, and they knew Christ. He says, Christ I know. And even one of them said, well, Paul I know, but I don't, but who are you? You know, and they could not do nothing with them, you know, because these people, they thought they could cast out demons and couldn't do it. Okay. And he says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, thou hast ordained, established, if you will. And then here's some more quotes in 4. Quoted in Hebrews and Corinthians and Ephesians. And the question is, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet. So we've got a list of things that are the attributes of the Son of God. But yet the people said, crucify him, crucify him. We don't want him. Give us somebody else. Even the sheep and the oxen in verse 7. Yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the pass of the seas. Now, tell me what the paths of the seas are. If it isn't the abyssos or the pit where Satan was chained and put in there and that John saw in Revelations. And these fallen angels that haven't got out of there yet. Are they passing the seas? Evidently. Something like that. Because it's mentioned here. Seven. With the sheep, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, and all these things. And he says, O Lord, our Lord. That's what it started out with. O Lord, our Lord, Jehovah. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. So, it kind of ends like it starts, but then there's a little note down there. And that note says to the chief musician, to see appendage 64. We'll not go there, but it kind of says, upon Muth Labian, this is relating to the death of the champion Goliath. So, evidently, this was Satan's name for Goliath. Upon Muth Labian, upon the death of the champion of Goliath, and he talks about this, he says, which has in the Septuagint the title. And the title says, A Psalm of David Concerning Goliath. So you see, Goliath was put out there, and the Philistines was with him, and they were going to overtake all of the children of God. And a shepherd boy, not a king of Israel yet, but a shepherd boy with a sling and the stone from the brook of Hidden had the means to kill the whole family. And Goliath says, are you going to send the kid out to fight me?
And they did.
And when the stone left it out of the sling of David, it struck Goliath in the forehead and killed him dead. And David cut off his head. I doubt if he could even pick it up. It was so big. But he had killed the animals that he was in charge of when he was his father's shepherd, when he was the sheep master of his father's sheep. This was what he used to slay them. So the animals that would come to kill the sheep. So he knew, in effect, that if he could do that to these animals, that he could do it to one of Satan's front men. I guess you'd call him a front man. You know, we think about a star in a picture or a singer that's the lead singer of a group. They call them front men. They're there before everybody to do their thing. Well, Goliath was there to do his thing. And they was just going to have the battle out between the two. And he thought it would be a cakewalk. But no, it turned into a death of one who could not reproduce himself. And then the Philistines, see, they turned and tried to flee. They had lost the battle. But yet that was not the end of the war, because we still have Satan today. We still have the sinfulness, and it seems to get worse and worse. And that is another thing that was proclaimed, that toward the end times, things would get worse and worse. They would be wars and rumors of wars. They would be earthquakes. They would be pestilence. They would be all kinds of things upon the face of the earth. And guess what? We just had a little earthquake not but a few weeks ago. Over 50,000 people got killed at one time. Yep. You know, and these were the Assyrians. So, you know, the Turkish people had a lot against God's people, and God used their king a lot of time to show that to Turkey and Babylon and the area around there. And to the Assyrians, they fought with God's people all the time. And so they had these, everything from little skirmishes to great wars. And that's when God killed over 100, sent the death angel and killed over 100,000 of them in one night. And the Assyrian king woke up and he didn't have an army left at one time. And so the things that go against God's will are not going to overcome in the end. They're not going to be of any great thing, because God's will and power can overcome anything that's ever been here on the earth, because he is all powerful in the realm that he has made it his. And it's to our advantage that he is a good God. Because if he had been a bad God, we would have never seen the light of day. Because the things that are going on is still the war between God and Satan. And we're involved in it because we're here. Like Satan can use you, then God can use and confound Satan with the foolish things of this world and overcome him. That doesn't That isn't too hard for God to do. Nothing is. But you see, he can take anything and make whatever he wants. He took dust. He took the dust of judgment where the earth was in the water, going around and around in the water, and it was being ground and ground and ground, and that's what we call the dirt we walk on is the ground. And he took the dust of judgment and made man. He could have made him out of anything. But the gen, the word that stands for the genitive, the word that stands for Genesis, the word that stands for oxygen, O-X-Y-G-E-N, that has to be replenished every day, every year, because we need something to breathe with. And the photosynthesis of the green things that we eat our fruits and vegetables from helps produce the O-X-Y-G-E-N, gen. And gen comes from God. Genesis means a beginning. Well, a beginning has to have something that can be brought forth in reality. Otherwise, we wouldn't know anything about it. That's the reason God knows about everything. We don't have the reality that God does in our minds. We can dream up things, but what he dreams up is way beyond what we understand. And that's the reason our wisdom can be given to us by God, and we can understand it if we know God. If you don't know God, you're not in the circle. What's the little gold thing that people put on their fingers when they do a vow? It is a circle. Man, I love to hear that song, "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" No, it won't be unbroken, because with God there is no gaps. Everything gets full to the fullest. It's the filling of all things. I've gone over my limit in time. So, think on these things, folks. Think on these things, because we're going to get involved in some of these things for a few minutes next week. Then we're going to get back into Jack's study. But I think about it now, and I think about all these prepositions and things that we studied when we were in school in English, and English wasn't my good suit, but math was, to a point. And a lot of people couldn't figure out how you could do numbers minus terms as much as you could in the plus terms. That blew their mind. And it wasn't a problem with me. But yet, you know, power is like that. Electricity that we use is like that. You can get it down to the milliwatts and the millions below a watt, as we call it, as a unit of power. And you can go the other way with it, the same way. And the circle that is used in appendage 104. It talks about a line being drawn from the center. That's the genitive line. That is a line coming from God. He is the center of all things. The Godhead is the center of all things. And that line can pass from the circle through there without breaking the line. And so there's no gap there. But we use a pie chart a lot of times to describe the differences in things within a circle. And that's what kind of the way God's got the heavens laid out. And you got things that's going away from the circle and things trying to come into the circle or coming in. And if you're away from the circle, you're away from God. If you look at that circle as what they use it for and think about it that way, it's appendix 104. If you got a companion Bible, look at it. And if you ain't, if you know somebody that has, get with them and sit down there and y'all talk about it a little bit, because we're going to talk about it just a little bit, because I love to hear the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band sing, "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" And that's a bunch of old men that did music all their life. And they've got verses of scripture added to that thing that I've never heard. Sometimes they do. They sing it because they've got several that wants to do a verse. And they do that. And it's about mama and mama passing away. And the hearse is coming for her. And they say, "Oh, man, to take this woman away. Christ on the cross, when he was trying to get John to take care of his earthly mother, he said, 'Woman, do you see your son?'" Or the something equivalent to that. And he wasn't saying, he didn't call her woman because she was his mother. Actually, but she was his earthly mother at that time in that point. And he did not want to die without somebody taking care of his mother, although he knew and understood what was before her and what was before that whole family. And so the one that loved, the one that he said Jesus loved, took her, and he drank the vinegar, or the bad wine, and he gave up the ghost. It was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, and then he was back for the rest of the 40 days that he was talking to him about, and then he went back into heaven. The way he come down, he says, "I'll be back," and he's coming back. But when he comes back, people say, "I wish he'd come tomorrow," and I don't think he do. I think he need to go back and look at the Word of God again and realize that. So thank you for my rattling on and listening to me, but I get to thinking about these things, and it's just earth shattering to me as to what I have had the privilege to do and still have the privilege to do. And a lot of people take their whole life and they never ever give God the praise for anything that he done for them. No. But yet, they still look for some type of hope somewhere. And they're going to get the righteous judgment. Whatever it is, they're going to have it. So, thank you for being with me for the few minutes that I have every week. May God bless.